Putting together an invade Iraq domestic constituency was not easy for George H.W. Bush in 1990 to 1991, nor was it easy for George W. Bush in 2001 to 2002. However, Dick Cheney, who had been the elder Bush's defense secretary from 1989 to 1992, became the man, thanks to his unusual combination of skills in military affairs, invading Iraq, 1991, global petroleum issues, and U.S. domestic politics. Some oil watchers later contended that Cheney let the cat out of the Iraqi invasion bag in a 1999 speech to the London Institute of Petroleum. He observed, "By some estimates, there will be an average of 2% annual growth in global oil demand over the years ahead, along with conservatively a 3% natural decline in production from existing reserves. That means by 2010 we will need on the order of an additional 50 million barrels a day." He did not mention Iraq or dwell on the mechanics of oil decline, but the heavy emphasis he placed on gas resource development belied any upbeat expectations. How much Cheney drew on this 1999 awareness in his 2001 Task Force strategic deliberations over U.S. energy policy and the possible role of Iraq's oil fields may never be clear. The extent to which participants have remained silent is reflected in Texas investment banker Matthew Simmons's 2005 book, Twilight in the Desert: The Coming Saudi Oil Shock and the World Economy. A sometime advisor to George W. Bush and a member of Cheney's task force, Simmons describes U.S. reliance on Saudi Arabia and the Saudis' claims of being able to increase its oil production to 15 million barrels per day and deliver them for 50 years as a pipe dream. He says Saudi oil production has already peaked and $100 per barrel oil is on the way. His book does not even mention Bush, Cheney, Iraq, or any of their decisions, which may be appropriate, but there is one mention, page 329, of Halliburton, Cheney's old company, and the ultra-sophisticated technology that it and Schlumberger have provided Saudi Aramco for recovering previously bypassed oil. This helps to support Simmons's point about Saudi weakness, but perhaps Cheney's own early sense of that potential exhaustion helped to spur a 2001 to 2002 U.S. targeting of Iraq as a successor to Saudi Arabia, both in terms of oil and as a military platform for controlling the Middle East. These dour assumptions followed the analysis, without the professional jargon, of geological publications that had stirred sharp debate over the previous few years. British geologist Colin Campbell's book, The Coming Oil Crisis, came out in 1997. Then a related article, The End of Cheap Oil, by Campbell and fellow geologist Jean Leherrer, appeared in Scientific American in 1998. More oil peak expositions followed in 2000 and 2001. Like other senior oil executives, Cheney cut to the chilling bottom-line implications. This peak scenario pessimism squared with individual companies' oil and gas exploration reports. As we saw in Chapter 1, by 2000, North America's aging resources were clearly depleting. More and more wells in Texas had to be drilled just to keep production constant. Reuters later reported the belief that Canadian gas output had peaked in 2001 to 2002. Even as Cheney spoke in 1999, top executives at Royal Dutch, Shell, and British Petroleum must have been hearing about shortfalls in exploration and reserves that became public knowledge in 2002. By 2003, experts had described ExxonMobil's production as flat since 1999. The 1997 to 1998 reports of foreign rivals angling for Iraq concessions would have magnified the fears of U.S. and British oil executives who read or even half-believed Campbell, Leherrer, and their colleagues. All of this would have backstopped a 2000 to 2002 sense of Iraq as solution. Come the new administration, few energy insiders would have been surprised when Cheney took the point. By early 2001, the situation he had addressed in 1999 had substantially worsened. It was now known that in 1998, the United States, for the first time, had imported more than half of the petroleum it consumed. Data for 2001 showed the United States having surpassed Europe as an importer of Middle Eastern oil. The winter of 2000 to 2001 had seen natural gas prices spike in the United States, while oil prices jumped to $30 per barrel. Charged with interweaving energy policy and national security, Cheney's team ranged far afield. No transcripts exist, and few public explanations have come from those involved, but Paul Roberts in The End of Oil contended that in the spring of 2001, Cheney and other strategists pored over maps of Iraqi oil fields to estimate how much Iraqi oil might be dumped quickly on the market. Before the war, Iraq had been producing 3.5 million barrels a day, and many in the industry and the administration believed that the volume could easily be increased to 7 million by 2010. If so, and if Iraq could be convinced to ignore its OPEC quota and start producing at maximum capacity, the flood of new oil would effectively end OPEC's ability to control prices. As supply expanded, prices would fall dramatically, and not even the Saudis with their crying revenue needs would be able to cut production deeply enough to stop the slide. Caught between falling revenues and escalating debts, the Saudis too would be forced to open their oil fields to Western oil companies, as would other OPEC countries. Naive as this seems in retrospect, it may have been Cheney's hope. He certainly understood the U.S. oil industry's anxiety. Prime Minister Blair's government, ever intimate with British Petroleum and Royal Dutch Shell, would have had a similar set of concerns. BP, mindful of oil resource depletion, was already preoccupied enough with alternative fuels to take on yet another nickname, Beyond Petroleum. After the Iraq War, Blair's environment minister, Michael Meacher, who had resigned in protest, described the clouds gathering in British energy skies. 4 months ago, autumn 2003, Britain's oil imports overtook its exports, underlining a decline in North Sea oil production that was already well underway. North Sea oil output peaked at about 2.9 million barrels per day in 1999 and has been predicted to fall to only 1.6 million BPD by 2007.